But during this entire year, and this is, again, 2003 and 2004, the very beginnings of the Sunni resistance, we were there in Anbar province talking to people about why they were fighting. And the reasons they told us, they were consistent with what we'd already learned about the place. They felt that there, you see this high wall in the background there, this is inside that family compound that you saw earlier with this sheikh that we befriended. And they felt like these soldiers were disrespecting their personal space. They'd raid their homes, and they felt it was an occupation. That's not what they had expected. They'd expected a sort of a more constructive relationship where they and the Americans together would rebuild this country, and they suddenly found themselves, in their words, under occupation, and that upset them just, you know, as human beings and morally and on ethical and religious grounds. Those were the reasons they were giving us. They also told us that they were fighting because they couldn't get any work anymore, and that all of the contracts that they'd expected would come their way after the regime fell were now going to foreign contractors. And they were very aware that this was a problem for them financially, and that they wanted the Americans out so they could get work back. So these were the narratives that I was hearing there from these enemy fighters who were getting called terrorists and Ba'athist dead enders. They had very logical reasons for why they were fighting. And someone here earlier said in the last session, another session, violence is never irrational. It always makes sense. There's always a reason for it. And I just, it seemed to me there were a lot of reasons early on for these people to resist the occupation in their terms. So I stayed as long as I could with this family. It eventually became too dangerous for us to go there. They didn't feel they could protect us any longer. And the resistance movements, they did shift and change, and there were different agendas and different actors. It wasn't always one cohesive thing. But this is what we saw in the beginning. So I had this experience where I had learned why these people were fighting, and I felt I wanted to repeat that as much as possible during my time in Iraq, because I felt like that story was rarely heard. It was difficult, of course, to cover the resistance movements. It was very dangerous. They didn't always want to talk to you for obvious reasons. I'm an American. But I found another little opening where it was possible to do that. And Thorne Anderson, who's here, we together befriended this guard at our hotel in Baghdad in our very first year in Iraq in 2003. And then we returned in 2004. He came back and said hi, and, you know, we caught up, and he said, "You want to see what I'm doing now? I'm fighting with the Mahdi army. Would you like to come and see what that looks like?" So, what's new with you? I'm fighting with the Mahdi army. Let's go check it out in Sadr City, which was wonderful. So there was this person he already had a relationship with. We trusted him. He had a long history of resistance against Saddam's regime, which is how he found his way to the Mahdi army. He spent time in prison under Saddam. He was part of the 1991 uprising, or his colleagues were. So he had this long history of resistance in Iraq. So for him, his own lineage, this made a lot of sense, very different from the way I think Americans viewed these resistance fighters. So these are Shia resistance fighters, in this case, the Mahdi army. So we went to Sadr City, and we watched his neighborhood watch group perform their nightly duties, and we talked to him about, we had long lunches with him, and we met all of his colleagues and talked to him about why he was fighting. And they decided they also didn't want the Americans in their neighborhood. They were going to guard the street corners and try to keep the patrols out because it just felt offensive to them. And, of course, they were trying to build political cachet. The movement in its entirety wanted to be seen as a resistance movement because that would be politically expedient for them. So, but on his, from his perspective, on his level, he just wanted these Americans out of the neighborhood. So this back and forth fighting went on between the Mahdi army and the U.S. forces started in 2004. And by August 2004, we went to Najaf, and with these fighters, were able to go on the inside of the front line between the U.S. forces and the fighters and cover it from the side of the Mahdi army, the resistance fighters.